Are you a worrier? Do you find your mind races and worries about the worst possible outcomes in your life? If you are, then you're not on your own. According to last year's survey for Leia Healthcare, anxiety is on the rise. Nearly 40% of Irish workers, they reported feeling anxious frequently or all of the time. Mostly about things like the rising cost of living, money worries, or just the uncertainty about the future. And this isn't surprising, is it? Because these days we are bombarded with 24-hour news coverage about a whole load of things like climate change and conflicts around the world, or even things like artificial intelligence and what that's going to do to all of our lives. We're living in a world with so much uncertainty and insecurity. And this isn't just the problem of us older people, it impacts our young people as well. The Union of Students in Ireland, they recently reported that 40% of students are experiencing extremely high levels of anxiety. 40%. And another survey reported that 60% of our young people worldwide are struggling with climate anxiety. Anxiety is a common struggle for many of us. So how can we deal with those anxious feelings? What can we do about our worries? Well, there can be some practical changes that we can make in our lifestyle that sometimes can help. Things like eating healthily and getting exercise and talking to people about our problems. But that's not all that we can do. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul provided us with a much more powerful antidote to anxiety. They are well-known words. I would imagine that some of us here could even recite them this morning. But I think it's worth spending some time with them, just pondering them, letting them sink into our hearts, because they really can help us to serve in peace. So we're going to read them just now. So it's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 to verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to verse 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think it would have been understandable had the Christians in Philippi struggled with anxiety. They were suffering persecution. Paul had already told them that they hadn't just had this privilege of believing in Jesus, but also to suffer for him. They'd also been warned about false teachers. Paul had said to them in chapter 3, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil. And then in their own church, they were struggling with division and disagreements. As we saw the last time we looked at Philippians, Paul pleaded with Euodia and Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. And then to make all of these things worse, their friend and church planter and spiritual leader was miles away from them. He told them that he was in chains for Christ and how he was facing possible execution. But despite all of this, despite how difficult their circumstances were, incredibly, Paul could write to them, do not be anxious about anything. No matter what is happening in our lives, what challenges we face, what difficulties we're experiencing, we do not need to allow worry to take control. We don't need to accept crippling anxiety as the inevitable burden of living in this messed up, dangerous and insecure world. We don't need to give into it. We can overcome it. But I think we need to be careful as we read this to understand what it means. This does not mean that we should be living a kind of carefree life. That we should kind of live totally unburdened by any concern or any issue. Because Paul wasn't like that. Paul, he knew the burden of caring for people. He told the Corinthian church, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Paul understood what it was to be burdened by his concern for them. And he wrote in this letter to the Philippians about Timothy. He kind of spoke very highly of Timothy because of his deep concern for others, especially this church. He says, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. And that little word that's translated interest or concern in chapter 2 of this letter is actually a very similar word to the word that Paul uses here in chapter 4 for saying, do not be anxious. So we're not supposed to float through life without a care in the world. Paul is not encouraging us to be uncaring or thoughtless about everybody else around us. But also verse 6 doesn't mean that we should condemn ourselves or others if they are struggling with anxiety. We need to be careful about the tone of this passage. Because I don't think for a minute that Paul here was wanting to condemn his brothers and sisters in Christ for feeling distressed or worried or anxious. Paul is the one who told us in Romans chapter 8, there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Paul knew that if we put our faith in Jesus and his finished work on the cross, then God will never condemn us, ever. He'll never hold our sin against us. And if this is true, then nobody has the right to condemn us. Nobody has the right to put us down. Nobody else. And not even ourselves. So if this morning we're hearing Paul condemn us for our struggles with anxiety and the way that worry kind of gets hold of us, then we're hearing Paul wrongly. Paul is not writing this to beat down on Christians who are struggling with anxiety. And this is not a command that we should be using to bash other Christians with. When they tell you, oh, I'm really struggling, I'm really worried, and you say, well, don't be anxious, Paul says it. Paul is not trying to make us feel guilty here. Instead, this is a word of encouragement. This is something similar to what the Lord gave to Paul when he was struggling in Corinth. He was struggling with the weight and the danger of his ministry there. And so one night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. He said, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you and nobody is going to harm you. Because I have many people in this city. Paul was not condemned by those words. Paul didn't listen to that and conclude, well, he must be a terrible Christian for having all this worry and this fear and needing a word of encouragement from the Lord. Instead, Paul was encouraged and enthused by this. And he overcame his fear and recommitted himself to serving the Lord in Corinth. And that's the tone of what Paul's writing here to the Philippians. This is good news. It's Paul coming alongside them, putting his arm around them and quietly helping them to see that they don't need to let anxiety overwhelm them. That there is an answer for the worries and stresses that we all struggle with. So what is the answer? What is the antidote to anxiety in our lives? What can we do when these worries rise up in our hearts? Well, instead of being anxious about anything, Paul says that we can pray about everything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord. The antidote to anxiety is prayer. When we're worried, or when we're concerned, or when we're fearful, or when we're agitated, we need to learn to pray. To turn to God. To petition. To ask Him for help. To present a request to Him. To be specific in bringing what we need to Him. So instead of us trying to carry the worries and the cares either about our past or our present or our future, Paul encourages us just to surrender them to the Lord. Place them in His hands. And leave them there. And we can do this because we can be sure that God knows what we need. This was the message that God gave to Moses when he met with the Lord at the burning bush, recorded in Exodus chapter 3, way back in the Old Testament. The Lord said to Moses in that time, it's Exodus chapter 3 verse 7, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. This was amazing news for Moses. For years, Israel had been suffering in slavery, oppression and cruelty. They'd been crying out to God for help, wondering if He knew what they were going through, wondering if they'd heard their prayers. But God had seen their pain. God had heard their cries. He knew all about their struggles and their suffering. And this is true for us too. God knows everything we're going through. He knows everything that we're struggling with. He knows all that we need. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows what we're going through. He knows what we need. But that's not all. God also told Moses, He said, and I am concerned about their suffering. I'm sure Moses and the people of Israel must have questioned this. Suffering and struggles often make us ask those questions, don't they? Does God really care about me? Is he really concerned about my life? Does his heart really break over what I'm going through? But God wants us to be absolutely clear about this. He cares about us. He cares about our needs and our desires. He cares about our worries and fears. He cares about our hopes and dreams. He cares about our joys and delight. He cares about even the tiniest details of our lives. God cares about us. And he's proved it once and for all by sending his son to the cross. This beautiful verse in Romans chapter 5 verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, circumstances and struggles make us question this. But the cross today declares God cares about us. We can be confident of that reality. And so we can be confident in bringing our worries and concerns to him. As Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. But there's one next little bit in God's message to Moses at the burning bush. Not only that God knows what we need, not only that God cares, but also God rescues. Verse 8 of Exodus chapter 3. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Even though their circumstances were overwhelming, their problems were huge, their struggles were intense, God was coming to transform their lives, to bring them into a new life. Life to the full. And that's why we can bring our prayers and petitions to the Lord. No matter what challenges we face, no matter what difficulties we're struggling with, God is able to rescue us. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us. And how can we be sure of this? How can we be sure that God is able to rescue us in the mess that we sometimes find ourselves? Well, we can look back at the Exodus, of course, and we can see how God rescued Moses and the people of Israel. But more than that, we can look to the wonderful cross of Jesus. And we can look to his empty tomb. And we can see him triumph over sin and death and all of the powers of evil. And so if Jesus was able to do that for us, and if he was willing to do that for us, then why would we ever need to doubt that he can provide us with everything that we need in our life? As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Doesn't mean that God is going to give us everything that we want. Doesn't mean that God will stop bad things happening in our lives. It doesn't mean that God will prevent us from going through times of struggle or suffering. But it does mean that we can be confident that God is always in control. That he's always working for our good. That in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. But it also means that ultimately, nothing can harm us. Because as we read in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, that our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, Jesus will come and fully and finally rescue us from this messed up world. So we don't need to be anxious about anything. We can pray about everything. Because we can be sure that God knows all that we need. He cares about even the tiniest details of our lives. And God will rescue us according to his good and perfect plan. And that's why even in the most difficult circumstances, we can pray with thanksgiving. Now, I think most of us struggle with that. Sometimes in our lives, it doesn't appear like there's many reasons for thanksgiving and praise. With human eyes, all we might see are the impenetrable problems and impossible barriers to living out the life that we want. But with eyes of faith, we can look up and we can see the God who's promised to be always working for our good, to be always with us, to be there for us, working through the difficulties. And so in faith, we can give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. No matter what we're going through today, no matter what we're facing in our lives, and I know some of us are facing really difficult times, we have so many reasons to rejoice in the Lord. So many reasons to give thanks for his mercy and his grace. To celebrate his commitment and his faithfulness. To be able to rest in his love. And when we do this, look at what Paul promises us. Verse 7 of Philippians 4. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If we put our trust in Jesus, we have received peace with God. Our sin made us enemies with God. It separated us from him, living in rebellion against him, against his rule and his reign in our lives. But through Jesus' death on the cross to pay for our sins, we've been reconciled to him. We've been brought into this close, intimate, secure relationship with him. So since we have peace, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've trusted in Jesus this morning, you are now forgiven. You are cleansed. You are adopted into his family. And as a result of that peace with God, we've been reconciled with each other. We thought about this last time, how there's so many things that can separate us in this world. And yet, through his death and his resurrection, Jesus has removed those divisions. So there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. All of us who have trusted in Jesus have been brought into this one community of God's people, equally loved, equally valued, equally accepted. But God's peace is also something we can experience with ourselves. God can bring harmony into our troubled hearts, an inner sense of contentment and wholeness, even in the middle of all the turmoil and the trouble. Paul says this will guard your hearts and your minds. It's like a walled city with soldiers guarding on high alert, with its defences so strong that the people inside the city are safe. And in the same way, when we struggle with issues and anxieties, but we leave them in God's hands, then we can experience that protection of our hearts and our minds from the onslaught of that worry and that stress. Not because our circumstances are perfect. Not because we get everything that we want. Not because God will do everything that we want. But because we are in Christ Jesus. We are depending on Him as our Saviour. We know that we're safe in His hands. And that nothing and no one can ever separate us from His love. That's why this peace is a peace that transcends all understanding. It doesn't conform to what we can understand because it doesn't work the same way that the world does. It doesn't require perfect circumstances or tranquil surroundings or wonderful relationships or healthy bodies or economic prosperity in order to experience peace. Instead, it's a peace that protects our hearts and our minds from the worries and stresses of life, even when we go through the most difficult of times that we could imagine. Whatever is happening in our lives, if we respond to it by praying in faith, by bringing all of our issues to the Lord and leaving them in His hands, then we can live within those protective walls of the peace of God. This is what Jesus promised in John 14, a beautiful promise for us. He said to His disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." So folks, there are so many reasons today that we might be anxious. So many things that we could worry about. So many things that could overwhelm us and pull us down. But there is an answer to it all. We do not need to worry about anything if we pray about everything and give thanks continually. Then we can know the protection of God's peace. A peace that goes beyond all comprehension, but a peace that comes from God through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.